Welcome to our Clothes with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Chuck Colazzi, and today is Monday, May the 6th, 2024, Monday of the sixth week of Easter, and our reading today is a continuation of the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." So Jesus, we're going to hear a lot in the next 2 weeks as we're getting ready for Pentecost, Jesus promising to send us the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of truth. We also hear a lot about peace when we hear of the Spirit. When Jesus appeared in the upper room, he breathed on them, which, by the way, in the Bible, the word ruach is the word for both the Holy Spirit and the word for breath. Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It makes sense because it's his Spirit. And then he says, "Whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whose sins you take away will be taken away." But he also says, "Peace be with you." So the Spirit will come, and at the same time, those filled with the Spirit will be martyred. But they will be okay. God will be with them. He's going to fill them with the Spirit. And he says the people that are doing this are people who are not in the Spirit. The way he says it here is that they do not know my Father. They do not know my Father. This is so much more than saying, "Hey, you know, you're a gang from another part of town and we don't know you. You know, we don't know that guy that's in charge of your gang. We have our own gang leader." No, this is a whole different reality. This is about the Spirit coming to live within us. And it's a Spirit of truth, a Spirit of goodness, a Spirit of love, a Spirit of joy, a Spirit of peace. And those who do not know the Father, it's not simply a matter of not knowing a person, although that is what it is, and Jesus does say that, but it's more than that. They do not have love and joy and peace within them. And so they can't stand knowing that there's people happy when they are not. Reading this reading made me think of Medjugorje. This is the month of Our Lady, so guess what? We're going to talk about Our Lady a little bit. And I've been to Medjugorje 11 times. I have so many stories to tell about Medjugorje. Maybe one day I'll just do a podcast on Medjugorje. However, I always give the disclaimer, the church is evaluating Medjugorje. There are negative reports that have come from Medjugorje. There are also positive reports. And the commission, the only document produced, well, there have been other documents, just statements of bishops and the Vatican statements. And yeah, the Holy Father Pope John Paul made some comments about it that were very positive. The Holy Father Pope Benedict made comments that were both positive and negative. The Holy Father Pope Francis, I'm pretty sure all he had to say was negative, but he told us to read the report of the commission, and the commission's report was very positive. And this is his commission. And the commission from the Vatican that made the first initial official report from the Vatican voted 13-1 in favor of the first week of the apparitions that happened at the end of June in 1981. 13-1, they voted that first week should be approved. Now, is it possible that there were true apparitions happening at the beginning and then now they're not? Now the visionaries have gotten carried away with their own fame, maybe their own fortune because they've made money. They've become successful in life because they're visionaries. It's tough to say, and we can't make that judgment. But from my point of view, Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits." I went there as a 16-year-old. I had a conversion of heart. I fell in love with Our Lady while I was there in Medjugorje. I fell in love with Jesus, especially in the Eucharist. And that love is still here, and I pray it never leaves me ever. But it's still here. There's an unbroken line from age 16 now to age 50 of me loving the Rosary, loving the Blessed Mother, loving adoration and the Mass and Holy Communion. And as I'm reflecting on this reading, I'm thinking about the contrast between people who, because Medjugorje is not approved yet, but also because of there being a lot of negative reports about things that have happened there over the years, the past 40 years, some people would just be so angry with me right now that I'm giving this podcast, that I'm talking in a positive way about Medjugorje because they've read negative things and the church has not officially approved it. I always say it's because the church is investigating it. The church has not condemned it. The church has not approved it. The church is investigating it. There's one document that says 13-1 in favor of the first week. Some people are just waiting, and that's fine. That's their prerogative to wait. A lot of people are going. A lot of people are experiencing it, and they're allowed to. The church has allowed it. And in fact, the church has made it an official Marian shrine. That doesn't mean it's approved it as far as the apparitions go, but it has made it a shrine because it's a place where people come from all over the world and they pray and miracles happen. There are countless stories of conversions and countless stories of miracle cures and so many other different types of miracles and so many vocations. So many people have entered the priesthood and religious life after praying in Medjugorje, after having a conversion in Medjugorje. Personally, I went back there 10 times after my initial trip, my initial conversion. Some people are very angry about Medjugorje. They're very, very much against it, and they claim it's from the devil. And these people don't really know what they're talking about. Is it possible that there is a hoax going on here? Sure. And the reality is, for those that truly love Jesus and love his church, we will submit to the authority of the church on these matters. If the church comes out and says it is hereby condemned, then okay. And have various local bishops said negative things about it? Yes, they have. And in fact, I think one of the bishops in the earlier days, he either condemned it or he was going to condemn it, but then the Vatican made a statement that we are officially investigating this, and therefore they took it out of the local bishop's hands. And that particular bishop that said a lot of negative things about it and said he did not believe in it, when he was asked if he believed in Fatima, he also said no. When he was asked if he believed in Lourdes and Guadalupe, he also said no. He doesn't believe Mary appears in the world, even though the church did approve those other apparitions. Now, because these are private revelations, no one has to accept Fatima and Lourdes. I'm not saying that bishop is a heretic. We're not talking about doctrine here or dogma. We're talking about private revelation that the church approved, but the church still doesn't demand that everyone believes in these things. So that is that bishop's prerogative not to believe it. But just to put things in perspective, when he said he didn't believe in Medjugorje, even though he was the local bishop seeing all the fruits, he also said at the same time, I also don't believe in Fatima. Okay, so these things are being evaluated. But I wanted to just talk about this contrast between people who don't really fully know the story, because none of us fully knows the story. I've been there 11 times. I don't fully know the story. But people that want to say it's definitely yes or it's definitely no. I'm not saying it's definitely yes. I'm saying there's fruits. And Jesus did say you'll know them by their fruits. And the fruits of Medjugorje are incredible, including the fruits that have been in my own life. I believe it's real. I also know that there's corruption there, just like there's corruption in the Vatican. Yes, I said it. And there's corruption in Washington, D.C., and there's corruption in all of our local dioceses. There's corruption everywhere. There's corruption in Medjugorje. I wonder if there was corruption in Fatima and Lourdes, because there's definitely been corruption in Medjugorje. I've heard a lot of really negative stories about the people there, the priests there, different situations that have happened there, situations with the visionaries where people have been really put off. But there are people that I occasionally will talk to who are so nasty and negative against Medjugorje when they don't fully know what they're talking about, when they don't fully know the story. And I thought of this when I read Jesus's words, they have not known the Father. I'm not saying these people don't know Jesus and they're not true believers, but why so nasty? Why so negative? Why condemning people that like to go there and like to pray? Why? Why is that necessary? And I just wonder, because I want to now create the contrast and talk about how Jesus says the Spirit of truth will come. When the Spirit comes, there will be a transformation. There will be a peace. There will be a joy. There will be the fruits of the Spirit, kindness and gentleness and meekness. When I was in Medjugorje the first time, one of the things that made me fall in love with the place and ultimately fall in love with Jesus and Mary was the people. Let's talk about the people there. Now, these people are very gossipy and they can be very petty. I was there one time in January. There was hardly anybody there. It was me and the townspeople. And yeah, I saw a different side to the town. I saw people being very petty and gossipy, and there's also a certain materialism that's taken over there. So it's true, it's not perfect. There's corruption there too. But I want to tell you about the first time I was there. It was still a communist country. Isn't it amazing? My parents let me go to a communist country when I was 16. But we all believed that Our Lady would protect us because we were making this pilgrimage in her honor. So they let me go. I saved up my own money being a lifeguard that summer. And I went. And then it was just bizarre to me once I was there. I couldn't believe I was on the other side of the world in a third world country run by communists where these people were dirt poor. They hardly had electricity. They did not have clean water. We drank water that was disgusting and filthy, and I got really sick from it, as did everybody in those early days. You had to drink to stay alive, but the water was disgusting. They didn't have television. They didn't have air conditioning. They certainly didn't have cell phones or internet because that didn't exist yet, but they didn't even have telephones like the normal kind. There were two phones in the town, and they were on opposite ends of the town, and if you wanted to use the phone, you had to line up, and I stood in line for an hour just waiting to use the phone, and I had to pay money to make a phone call. The phone call was like 5 minutes. I called my mom. And I had to pay him like whatever it was, $10 or whatever. They lived in dirt poverty. There were just farm animals roaming freely, and they didn't have hotels set up yet. Instead, we stayed in the people's homes. My group, we were a bunch of bratty kids that goofed off and kept the people up at night with our noise that we made because we were so excited to be on a trip. It was a youth trip, and it was part of, we were there during the first youth festival that Medjugorje had, 1990. Now they have one every year, and there's so many young people there from all over the world and so many good fruits that come from it. But we were there for the first one, and there were just tons and tons and tons of teenagers there. And at nighttime, we would all walk up to the mountain to pray, and it was dark. It was pure darkness. We had to have flashlights to just be able to see where we were going. You still kind of need that in Medjugorje, but now there's street lights. Now it's, the place is lit up and there's stores. And yeah, okay, materialism has crept in with all these stores selling all kinds of things. But yeah, at that time, they didn't have all that. There was this one guy making ice cream and he also served like lemonade or something. And we were there all constantly. The ice cream in Europe is amazing. But the point is, they lived in dirt poverty. They lived under a communist regime. A civil war was getting ready to start. These people had been beaten down. So many people from the town were kidnapped and tortured and killed because of communism, because of what was happening with Our Lady appearing, supposedly. Father Yozo had been tortured, and they were going to, they sentenced him to death, and then the firing squad all missed on purpose, and he lived through it. But despite the poverty that they lived in, it was a completely different experience of life than what I was used to. Despite all that, they had an incredible joy and peace about them. And it blew me away to see how happy these people were and to see how kind they were as we were in their town, as we were just bringing our American obnoxious selves through their town, making all kinds of noise. They were so good to us. They were so kind, and they were so joyful. And the reason they were so filled with peace and love and joy is because they had Jesus. They had the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. Mary is appearing in their town, and they were praying. I mean, these are people working hard on the farms. Kids were going to school every day at the local schoolhouse. Everybody was busy. Everybody was working. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have the paved roads like we have. Now it's a little better over there. We walked on dirt paths. These people would just sit out at night. After they'd go to church for 3 hours, then they'd sit out and talk to their neighbors, and the kids would play before bed. And there were big bugs and bats and all kinds of stuff like that. But these people were so joyful. Anyway, it blew me away. It blew me away that there is a joy that comes only from the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're dirt poor. It doesn't matter if you have everything or you have nothing, according to this world. These people had nothing, but they had Jesus in their hearts, and therefore they had everything. And I had never seen it like that growing up in America. I'd never seen anything like that. After I came back from Medjugorje, yeah, I had other experiences, going on retreats, going to youth group events, experiencing different religious things where, yeah, you know, you see people that are at peace and you start to experience that peace yourself. I was preaching recently about just taking retreats and things like that, resting in the Lord, going to monasteries and things like that. Yes, there is a lot of that to experience in this country. But you certainly don't see it on TV, and you don't see it on the streets and in the malls and where people are. You see the opposite. You drive down the road, you get cut off, you get cursed at. People are miserable, and they're miserable because they don't have the Lord. They don't have the Spirit. So anyway, Jesus is promising the Spirit to us in these readings as we're getting ready for Pentecost. And there is the Spirit that brings peace, and there is the Spirit that just wants to kill and torture and condemn and judge and be harsh and put other people down because of whatever, greed, envy, jealousy, hatred, prejudice. The list goes on and on and on. I'll tell you, with Christianity, it's when people are truly living the faith, when people truly have that peace, people around us see it, and they want what we have. When I say we, I don't speak from a place of perfection. I speak as a pilgrim on a journey, as somebody that's trying to get there, somebody that's experienced some of it. But over history, how have people treated Christians? Well, they see genuine Christians having something that this world does not give, and it's absolutely amazing. And they either then want to kill us for it, or they want to become one of us. We saw that in the Roman Empire. The people in the stands at the Colosseum had a bloodlust to see these Christians die. And when they saw how peaceful and joyful they were going to their deaths, so many of them, it infuriated so many of them, but so many of them then wanted to become Christian themselves because they said, you know what, we have everything and we're miserable. These people have nothing and they're getting ready to die, and it's as if they have everything. And it's true, because when we have Jesus, we have everything. Have a great day. God bless you.